Welcome to KathleenWhitten.org. We believe that Kathleen's message will inspire you, encourage you, and give you a fresh perspective on life. Now, here's Kathleen.
person in front of you is buying 21 different lotto cards, and you're in a hurry, and the cashier is not in a hurry, and somebody else comes in and spills their coffee all over you and doesn't say they're sorry, and you have a whole day like that, and you find yourself, sorry, and the Holy Spirit is like, love, 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 and the soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, but I don't feel like loving, I didn't get much sleep last night, so-and-so spilled coffee on me, wow, they sell a lotto tickets and the limitations, I'm just standing in line, I'm just trying to get gas in with a separate line to the lotto people. And so then we go, my gosh, what is the deal? Romans 7:15, I do not understand what I do for what I want to do. I do not do, but what I do, I hate. What is the problem here? And see, what we're learning is that we need to feed our spirit so that our spirit will become strong, so that we're not living out of our soul. So here he says in Romans 7:24, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Now, I think a lot of people just stop there and go, my gosh, yeah. And just say, what a wretched man I am. Who's going to help me? Yeah. But see, if we read on to the very next verse, Romans 7:25 says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is who's going to help us. He's going to set us free. It says, so then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but the sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. What is he saying? He's saying that I've so renewed my mind that my mind is a slave now to God's law. Romans 12:2 again, do not be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, when we fill our minds, feed our minds, when we feed our minds with the Word of God, our spirit becomes strong, and then all of a sudden it's not as hard to love in the gas station, and it's not as hard to have patience, it's not as hard to do the things that were so hard before. But what happens usually is that we feed our soul instead of our spirit. And we feed our soul by giving in to our mind, our will, and our emotions, even if they're contrary to the Word of God. Is this making sense to anybody? Yeah? So here we see that he is so thankful. He says, through Jesus Christ, he's set free. And if you look down to Romans 8:2, that is one of my favorite scriptures. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. And I can't say that about every element of my life, but I can say that that scripture is in process in every part of my life. And I can say that that scripture literally has brought me victory in so many areas. There are areas in my life where the law of sin and death were in process, and God's word literally set me free. What is the law of sin and death? The law of sin and death is what the Bible talks about when we go our own way and we're not following God's ways. It's the little things and the big things. If you look in Deuteronomy 28, and you look in the earliest part of our scriptures in the Old Testament, God says that there is a way that seems right to man, but the end result is death. And he also says that he wants us to follow him and that it's our choice, that we can choose life or death. Recognize these scriptures, blessing or curses. And then God tells us the answer. He says, choose life that you and your children, and the word is translated there, your seed, might live. And so it's choosing God's ways instead of our ways. But the problem is we have this sin nature in us, like Paul is talking about, that makes that really, really hard until we start feeding our spirit to where our spirit is strong enough to take over from our flesh. And I've given you all many examples. I mean, I tend to give examples about me because I don't get in trouble with me, and I get in trouble with other people sometimes. But how many times have you been somewhere and you can feel a war in you? You can feel a war. And I get examples of, like, me and Lacey, but there are times where we're in a disagreement because we don't argue, but we disagree loudly sometimes. And we're in a disagreement, and I can hear the Holy Spirit telling my spirit, just don't have the last word, just walk away, just leave it, don't times I don't have the last word, it's easier and easier and easier. The first time, I really felt like something was going to explode inside my physical body. I'm not kidding. I mean, I really did. And I had to, like, go in the closet and have a last word. I was like, you know, got up to, like, next to one of the students, and I was like, well, I was trying to tell you. Listen. If you would just listen, okay? And I'm sure if any of my children saw me, they'd be like, oh, Mom, I'm closet again, talking to Dad, too. And see, the Holy Spirit, like, yes! And then the next one is easier and easier and easier because I fed my spirit. I feed my soul, and you feed your soul when you give in to your soul, which is my mind, my will, and my emotions. Now, every once in a while, which, thank God, is good, our soul and our spirit will come together and be at one. And do you know that's what God says that He's wanting for us? See, the more we mature in Christ, the more my soul and my spirit are going to come together and have less and less conflict. And that's what the Word says is peace. That is peace. Because having a constant war inside me is not peace. I mean, I can get peace by letting the Spirit win the war, and then I finally have peace. But the peace is when my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions start to line up with God, and I become more like His image. With my own personality, but still the image of Christ, and that's peace. And we're going to see that in the Word, too. In Romans 8:3 of the King James, I just wanted to show you that. For it says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, Jesus Christ, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, He says, was that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. And He's talking about you and me, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See Him dividing flesh and spirit and soul and spirit. And He's saying here, you die choice every single day, all the time, all the time, all the time, to walk according to your mind, your will, and your emotions, and your feelings, and your what you want, what you think. Your emotions say what you feel. And women get accused of that all the time. I'm just going to be emotional. But you know what? Your soul is also made up of your mind, and that's what you think. And I hear men say all that, well, what I think, well, what I think, well, what I think, what I think. You know, and sometimes we have to say, well, what does God think? You know? I mean, given everything going on in the church right now, and particularly in the Episcopal Church, what I love about our leaders is they're like, well, what does God think? I know what you think, and you think, and you think, and you think. What do the scriptures say? What does God think? Because we're just going to follow what God thinks. And thank God we have that leadership in this church, because otherwise it is a huge opinion fest going down the toilet. And so we need to keep going back to what does God think, but even in my own life and in your own life. Romans 8:5 says, for they that are after the flesh do not mind the things of the flesh. Excuse me, do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I'm going to read it in NIV. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set. That's what we're going to be talking about today, on what the sinful nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Romans 8:6 says something really interesting. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. And I used to read those scriptures right there. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. And that made no sense to me. Because I thought, how do you have a mind controlled by the Spirit when everything is a choice? But see, what Paul's writing here is exactly what we've been talking about. Whatever you feed becomes strong. If I feed my spirit the Word of God, it becomes strong. And whatever becomes strong controls you. If I feed an addiction and feed an addiction and feed an addiction, it controls me. Even if it's people approval. If I feed my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions, and ignore my spirit and my whole spiritual life, then my soul becomes strong. And even though I may want to follow God, talking particularly about forgiveness. You may want to forgive somebody with all your heart and soul and mind, but unless we're feeding our spirit with the Word of God and coming to class like this and praying and feeding your spirit and doing the hard thing when it's hard, it's hard. You know, I give funny little hard, silly examples sometimes, but I mean, the times that I've forgiven were, it was like the most painful thing. Because the person so hurt me, or so wronged me, or truly affected my life. And I'm not talking about 10 years ago. I'm talking about even very recently. Hurt us extremely much. And it's forgiven and it's under the blood of Jesus, but it's hard. Or when they hurt one of your children. And so we have to feed our spirit so that we be strong enough to do those hard things. And the Bible says that no temptation has seized us yet we're common to man, but that God will provide a way out that we can stand up under it. And God will provide a way out, but we have to be strong enough to take it. And that's the thing, is I've even seen in situations where if I could put everything in slow-mo, don't you wish you could put things in slow-mo? If you get in a situation that's really tough and you can go one way or the other and you know that you've got to just, you're going with it and see if your soul has been fed and not your spirit, your soul's going to take control and leave. Like the example with my husband, my soul's going to go, you're going to have the last word. Spirit, sit down, you're weak, I'm in control here. And then I have the last word because my soul felt like it. Because I was right. I really was right. But anyway. So if you look here, it says that the mind of a sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Isn't that what we want? This is what's so amazing, is that when I get into these scriptures, I'm like, wait a minute. That's what we all want. That's what I want. You mean, like, if I feed my mind with the Word of God and feed my spirit, and first it's kind of uncomfortable, and sometimes it can be kind of boring, and sometimes I'd rather do other things, or I don't know about you, but I just get so distracted, you know? I'm just so distracted. And I think that's why God is so smart. Don't you think he's so smart? But Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye what? First the kingdom of God," because he knows we're going to get distracted. He knows once the day goes on and we're doing this and this and this, and then we're totally exhausted, and we fall into bed, and then we realize, ooh, another day I never cracked open my Bible. Got into the Word. I never listened to any teaching tapes or what have you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, then his righteousness, and all these things will be added. But as I do seek God's Word, and I open it through tapes, I'm an auditory learner. And I don't know about you. Some people are visual. Some people are auditory. Whatever you are, at our age, we should know. Do you know what kind of learner you are? But however you learn, use that to learn the Word. If you're an auditory learner, get tapes of classes or speakers that you like or that you can relate to, or just the Word of God. If you're a visual learner, whatever. But if I feed my spirit, then it gets stronger. And what happens is it starts to take control of my life. And when Romans 12 2 says that my soul starts to come into conformity with my spirit, and I'm not in that inner turmoil struggle all the time, and I'm not saying and doing and thinking things I wish I didn't say and think and do, and all of a sudden I'm more at one with God, which is where we got the word atonement, at one minute. I'm more at one with God, and then I have this realization in my life of this beautiful scripture, Romans 8, 6, of the Spirit, and a life that is full of peace. So awesome. If we ever wonder why is it that the hardest thing for us to do is actually get into the Word, because the life of God is in the Word. The life that will change us and metamorphosize us and transform us and restore us is in His Word. And so the one thing the devil, the enemy, who is very real, Jesus taught us all about the devil. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy." The one thing the devil doesn't want us to do is get in the Word of God, because that's where our freedom is. So you will find more resistance getting into the Word of God than you will find in just about any other Christian thing. I don't think Satan cares how many committees you're on. I really don't.
invite someone dinner who's ill and take it to their house. You may not find quite as much resistance to even teach a precious Sunday school class, which is also so important. What you're going to find tough is getting in the Word of God. Why? Because that's where you're going to get free. And that's where you're going to become more and more and more like Jesus. And that's when we get dangerous to the enemy. Because that's when people go, there is something to this Christ thing. There's something real. I mean, this person is real. This person's like loving me, and I've completely, you know, offended them and hurt them, and they're not reacting like a normal person would. They're acting like Jesus. And it's when we also can hear the Holy Spirit's voice, and where He gets us to a place where He can trust us with more and more. I mean, I get so excited about it. But I think it's the Word. It's getting into the Word. You know, all of us are that way with our kids. It's like the more that they show that they're trustworthy, the more we want to give them. And the more we can give them, because the more we can trust with them. But we don't give them things and responsibilities. I'm not talking about just material things. If we think it's going to hurt them. Is it because we don't love them? No. Interestingly enough, we don't love them any more or any less. Same way with God. His love for us is unconditional. He loves us. We're His kids. But then He's not going to give us huge responsibilities that are going to hurt us because we're living out of our soul and we don't even know how to live out of our spirit. I mean, I think of all the amazing things that God must have planned for all of us, me included, and He's just waiting for me to get in the Word and for the Word to change my life and for me to get set free. The Bible says to know the truth, and the truth will set you free, and the truth has a name, and the truth is Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But He also says, I'm the Word. I'm the Logos, Word of God. So you could say, know the Word, and the Word will set you free. Romans 8:7 says, the sinful mind, that's the mind controlled by the flesh, controlled by the soul, is hostile to God. Okay, yeah, we see that, definitely. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Romans 8:8 then says something that's really interesting. It says, those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You know, God loves each one of us the same. Not any one of us more than anyone else of us. You are God's favorite. Isn't that great to know? I mean, I don't know if any of you have come from a family where maybe you felt like you weren't the favorite child. Or maybe it was obvious that you weren't the favorite. You are God's favorite. But that love that's it's going to be by your soul, or it's going to be outside influences, or it's going to be your flesh. And those are the things that are going to control you. And the only way for our spirit to control us is if we feed our spirit, but we're going to be controlled by one. And it says, you, however, talking about you believers in Jesus Christ that have the Holy Spirit in you, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. Isn't that good? The Spirit of God lives in us. We have that incredible choice to be controlled by the Spirit. And now we'll start our lesson. I really don't know what I'm going to do. God's going in a different direction, absolutely for sure, and I'm just going to go with it because my lesson is going to be, was supposed to be on, we talked about feeding our spirit with God's word so that our spirit will rule and we can keep in step with the Spirit. And then this lesson today was going to be on consider where your mind dwells. And I want to just touch on that because when we're talking about forgiveness, and we're talking about standing up and forgiving, and we forgive, and then we have this dichotomy of our feelings not lining up a lot of times with what God's telling us to do. So we forgive someone, but then we still have all those feelings that don't line up. And that's what we're talking about, how we have to go with what the Spirit is telling us to do and obey the Spirit, even though our feelings over here, our soul, because your feelings are part of your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions, are kicking and screaming. Because what we're doing is we're feeding our spirit by obeying God, and we're starving out our soul. And whenever you start to starve out your soul, and your soul has had its way for 45, 50, 60, 70, 80 years, the soul goes, excuse me, wait a minute, I've been in control for a long time here. And if you think for 1 second I'm just going to sit down and be quiet, you've got another thing coming. Because I'm not. I'm going to bug you and I'm going to kick and scream. You understand what I mean? And so the soul is going to make a lot of noise until it kind of starves out in that area. And that's why I love Romans 8:2, because Romans 8:2 says, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. And where I personally have had victory is where my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions have been so starved out, and sometimes my flesh, in that area, that it's not a problem for me anymore. It's just not a problem. You know, there are areas that all of us, but it had to be feeding my spirit and feeding my spirit so that my spirit is stronger. We are going to be wrapping up in just 15 minutes, but I wanted to pray. Because I know that the Holy Spirit took us in this direction for a reason. I want to pray for all of us, and myself included. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning, and we thank you that you are God. And Father, we love your word. Your word sets us free. Your word changes us. Your word stirs up in us the Holy Spirit that's been there for many of us, many, many years, and maybe has not gotten to be stirred up too much. And Lord, we want to please you. As a child wants to please their father, we want to please you. And we've seen your word today clearly that you say that you're only pleased when we walk in the Spirit. And you are not pleased when we walk according to our sinful nature. Father, please conform us to your will. We know that that's done by being in your word. And Lord, I just ask in the name of the Holy Spirit and by the power of your mind that you would help give us the grace, each person in here in their own individual way, in the way that you speak to them, that you would prompt them, lead them, give them a hunger and a thirst for the word of God. That even the tiniest morsel can bring life and water and a cool refreshing to the driest part of our hearts. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you want us to apply your word to every area of our life, to our businesses, to our decisions, everything. You say in your word of God in Proverbs 4:20, my son, give attention to my word. Don't let it depart from your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart so it will be life to those that find it. going to cost us something. And so, Father, let us be willing to pay the cost. Even if it's a little thing of waking up a little earlier, opening up the Bible before the newspaper, whatever it is, Lord, help us to get your word in us so that we can please you and walk according to the Spirit. We love you this morning. We honor you. We glorify you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for joy. We thank you for freedom. And we thank you for showing us that we can have a life of peace and freedom despite our circumstances if we learn to walk according to your Spirit. Help us, forgive us. Have mercy on me, God. Have mercy on me. Because I desperately need you.
We hope that you've enjoyed Kathleen's message. To order a copy of this and other messages, please call us in San Antonio, Texas at 210-822-5500 or toll free outside the San Antonio area, 877-397-7773. That's 1-877-397-7773. Visit our website, KathleenWhitten.org, KathleenWhitten.org. Thank you.